Well, I'm looking forward to this conversation. Kenny Arduin is with us, and our people, Māori, have the highest incidence of cleft lip and palate than any other ethnicity in the world, which seems unusual, but let's work it through. Kenny also grew up with a cleft palate, and he is at the University of Canterbury exploring the effects of cleft on whānau Māori and cleft support services. He was told when he was young that he'd never be a public speaker, but following speech-language therapy and years working as a speech therapist himself, he's now a lecturer and a PhD candidate at the University of Canterbury and is a member of the uni's cleft research team. That's wonderful to have you with us, Kenny. My name's Dale, and I appreciate you spending some time with us on Māori Radio.
Oh, kia ora, and thank you very much for the opportunity to come and have a chat with you this morning.
Thanks, Kenny. I've got a dear friend who's now in her early 20s. She grew up with a cleft palate, so I'm not unfamiliar with some of the challenges, and it's really neat to see that you've gone into this. Kenny lectures at the School of Psychology, Speech and Hearing. So do you have any idea, Kenny, why it might be that Māori is so overrepresented in cleft globally? Do you have any figures on how many of our people grow up with this condition, Kenny?
Yeah, sure. I mean, it's a really good question. So the numbers are around about 1 in 460 for Māori, which is a bit higher than the New Zealand average of 1 in 560 and the global average, which is around about 1 in 700. Now, I knew that you would probably ask why that is, and anything I give you at this stage would be quite speculative. You know, the short answer, unfortunately, is that we don't really know at this stage, but research is ongoing to better understand that question. What we do know, and what I can tell you, is that the incidence in Māori is higher for isolated cleft palate, so that's cleft palate that occurs without a cleft lip, whereas rates of cleft lip and cleft lip and palate are actually lower for those who are Māori. So that's an interesting difference that we see for whānau Māori.
Tēnā koe, could you, just for those who have heard the term, perhaps don't understand what it actually means, what is cleft palate, Kenny?
Yeah, no, great question. So cleft palate is when during fetal development, so as we're developing as, you know, young babies in the womb, the lip and the palate sort of come together and move towards the center of the face. If that doesn't happen for whatever reason, you'll be left with a cleft lip if it doesn't fuse at the lip area, or a cleft palate if that doesn't fuse sort of inside the mouth at the palate area. And it's not uncommon to have both, so where you're left with both a gap in the lip and a gap in the palate. And that's usually repaired at around 3 to 6 months for a cleft lip, and then somewhere between 9 and 13 months for the gap in the palate as well.
How does it affect your ability to communicate, for instance? What are the symptoms, if I could call that, use that term, but how does it affect your everyday operation?
Yeah, I mean, and in different ways for different people. So speech, as you rightly mentioned, is obviously a thing that can be impacted, particularly with cleft palate, because, you know, we use, you know, people probably don't fully appreciate, but we use the palate actually quite intensively in how we communicate. Our tongue is constantly going up to the palate. It also is a really important structure for controlling the airflow between the mouth and the nose. So if we have too much air going through the nose as we speak, that's where we end up sounding quite nasal, and that has quite an impact not only on people's ability to understand our speech, but also how they perceive it, and it can sound quite different to people, and obviously that can have a lot of knock-on effects for, you know, people's psychological well-being as well. So although, as I was mentioning before, those repairs are often done quite young, cleft really is a lifelong condition, with the sort of impacts being quite far-reaching, people often needing multiple surgeries, speech therapy, orthodontics as they grow up, but also always sort of carrying that sort of part of us as we enter into adulthood and the rest of our lives.
Tēnā koe. Is it a hereditary condition, Kenny?
Yeah, it can be. So the best way that we describe it is that for most people, there's more than one cause. It's not that easy just to pinpoint one thing and say, "Oh, it was that." And often it's a combination of genetics, but also the environment that we live in and the things that we're exposed to. And so it's a little bit different for everybody, and it's hard to pinpoint exactly what caused cleft, but we certainly do see some examples of families where it runs within the family. And then we see other families where, or another whānau where you might just see one person with cleft, and there doesn't seem to be any other history among their siblings and other whānau members.
Will you have whānau Māori being to being part of the research, Kenny? And I'm curious to know how the research is being conducted with Māori whānau and whether or not there are some Māori researchers involved in the Canterbury Uni's approach.
Yeah, and an excellent question, and I would be the first to acknowledge that I'm not Māori myself. So, although I've got the lived experience of cleft, I can't put myself in the shoes of what it's like to be whānau Māori with cleft. And so, that's really important to us on our research team that we have people who understand what it is to be Māori. So, I've got my lead supervisor, Dr. Phoebe McRae, as well as colleagues Taylor and Tiana, who are kaupapa Māori researchers. So although they don't have the lived experience of cleft, they have experience of being Māori and kind of understanding the research methods and relating to Māori. So I think that's one of the strengths of our team, is that you kind of get both. You've got my experience from the cleft side of things, but also their experience with interacting with Māori and being members of the Māori community.
What stage of the research are you at, Kenny? How far down the track, or how long to go? This sort of kōrero, please.
Yeah, so we're reasonably early in this stage. We're still really keen to hear from whānau Māori. And what we want to do is understand really your experiences as growing up in Aotearoa with cleft. From what we understand, the existing supports are great at focusing on some of the taha tinana, the physical aspects of cleft, but we're really interested to know about some of the more holistic outcomes. So, your hinanaro, your wairua, your taha whānau, all those sort of more holistic emotional well-being and cultural and spiritual sides of things, and whether people feel that those are areas that are getting the attention that they deserve, and ultimately what changes or things we could implement to make our support services more responsive for Māori.
I want to thank you for looking at this issue. People might be shy or embarrassed when, in fact, these are natural occurrences, quite obviously, Kenny. And mate, I note that you do broadcasting work, so there you are. People would have thought, oh, well, Kenny's never going to be using his voice to earn a quid, but now you're a lecturer and a broadcaster.